Well, hello, adventurers. Thanks for listening to The First Watch. The audio for this podcast is taken from our web show, so if you want the full visual experience, with battle maps, our beautiful players' faces, and me making some, questionable monster grimaces, you can find all the episodes on our YouTube channel via the link in the show notes. But we're so glad you're here and listening, and hope you enjoy the story. Now, on to the adventure.
Hi, I'm Mike, the storyteller from Tales of Asperon. On this clear night, you find yourself at a makeshift camp within the Whiteleaf Wood. Beside you, an older gentleman sits on a log with a book, writing of its own accord. The light from the stellar rings surrounding the planet bring a pleasant glow to this person's scarred face.
This story is about four young folks who cross paths in the simple town of Homestead, on the frontiers of Asperon. Together, these kids save a poisoned man on the street, believing him to be a hero of sorts. Little did they know, this kindness would unravel their lives into a heap of trouble. You see, Asperon is filled with danger. The Hearthlands will melt your body to its very bones, and titanic beasts roam the jungles and forests. Though the frontier is the worst of all. It has no kings, queens, or country, just people. People who will take whatever they want. The frontier, well, it's where heroes are forged. And I hope these kids have what it takes to make it through the fire.
Hello, adventurers. If you enjoyed that preview of our 5th edition Real Play podcast, check out our website at www.toapodcast.com. You can also find us on Apple, Google, Spotify, and most of the other free podcasting apps.
Padded foot hits the forest floor with barely a sound, lithe, tight muscles contracting in a microsecond before pushing off again, a dead sprint. A moment behind, four more paws follow, keeping pace with their master's tracks, kicking up dirt and twigs and leaves behind them. The air in the forest is heavy, and height of beast, so is your breathing. As you've been running for a good half hour by now through the trees, trailing behind you is Luna, your direwolf pup companion, recently rescued from a pack that wanted to kill her. You've been running with urgency because the trail of your quarry is fresh, though for how long you don't know. Outside the town of Aurora, a small farming community has been plagued with creatures going missing for months. While concerning, this could have been chalked up to wolves or a bear in the night. Not pleasant, but expected in these lands. But the disappearances didn't stop at cattle. A month ago, townsfolk who ventured too far into the forest began to not return. After three such disappearances, word was frantically sent to Realmshield, the Monster Hunters Guild, for assistance. As a new member, you have been tasked with hunting down whatever creature is abducting people and bringing back its head, should it have one. With you is Luna, your new direwolf companion, just a pup at this point, but still formidable. Training has been slow, but some progress has been made. She is still unpredictable and wild. You arrived in Aurora 2 days ago and immediately began hunting for clues. Nothing was evident at first, but this morning, a frantic halfling woman burst into the town, saying that her husband had gone out early that morning for firewood and had not returned. With the potential for a fresher trail and a life at stake, you are tracking as fast as you possibly can. So, height of beast, as you tear your way through the forest, looking for signs of this missing halfling man, Luna, you know, darting in and out of the trees, but keeping up with you. I would like you to start by rolling a survival check to try to pick up the trail.
Okay. Survival. Oof. off to a great start. That's a 7.
A 7, okay. You're moving really fast, and it's tricky to find any signs of anything when you're at this speed. You realize very quickly that, you know, as important as speed is right now, and as crucial as the time is, you're gonna have to slow down a little bit in order to, you know, find something.
Can I talk to Luna, and maybe she can sniff something out and see if she can smell halfling in the forest?
Yeah, so why don't you go ahead and make a perception check with advantage, because Luna is using her scent in order to help you track.
Okay, and that is plus 5, so 17.
17. All right, so after taking a moment to slow down, realize you need to get your feet underneath you, you send Luna about, you're in the general vicinity of, you know, this halfling farmer's house. You're, you know, within a quarter mile of his house into the woods where he would have been gathering firewood. And it's not long before Luna picks up a trail and begins to dart off in a direction.
What is it, girl?
She's already taking off.
Ooh, excited. I like it.
So you run after her. She goes for a little ways and then eventually finds a little bit of a clearing and begins to sniff around it. It's not a large clearing, and it doesn't look man or person made. It looks like just kind of a natural, slight glade area that opens up. But she begins to kind of sniff in circles in that area.
Okay. Can I investigate the area, see if there's anything like blood or a body or anything like that?
Yeah, go ahead and roll an investigation check.
Uh, 14.
Okay. You look around and you don't find any blood. You find a small bundle of sticks that has, you know, it's not like a tied bundle, but it's kind of a grouping of sticks that seems to have been scattered across the ground in one particular area. Potentially a bundle that was being held and then dropped. You look around for a little while longer, and interestingly enough, the ground around that bundle and leading eastward from there, just little bits of it kind of in a, you know, a 5-foot area, seems to have been almost recently tilled. Seems to be upturned a little bit, not flipped all the way as if like a hoe had come through or anything, but just like mounds are pushed up a little bit, and it's softer in some areas.
Okay. Can I look around in that area for any maybe paw prints or anything that would tell me that a beast was around?
Yeah, go ahead. So looking for tracking prints specifically, go ahead and roll a survival check.
17.
17, awesome. You do not find a paw print anywhere. You do not find a footprint anywhere. But this soft ground gives itself a bit of a trail, again, heading eastward. And it seems to be fairly consistently wide. And while it does meander to and fro a little bit, and the differences in the consistency of the ground, you know, areas where it's more rocky seem to be more solid than others, but you kind of keep catching bits of this soft ground heading east.
So soft ground, like it doesn't matter whatever the terrain is, it's just kind of like soft and wet?
Not even wet. More like almost as if it had been displaced and then put back. It's not that it, like the ground itself is a different texture, but it just seems to be looser and yeah, a little bit displaced.
Okay, well, I'm gonna follow it.
You continue to follow the trail, as it were, through the forest. How are you going? Are you going quickly, medium pace? Are you going stealthily?
I feel like we're getting close to something, and I don't want to spook it, so I'm going to go stealthily.
Okay. Go ahead and roll a stealth check for both yourself and for Luna, please.
Wow, I am rolling so bad. Well, Luna's doing great, though. It's a 10 for me and a 24 for Luna.
A 10 for you and a 24 for Luna. All right. Go ahead and roll perception checks for both you and Luna as well, because you would be actively keeping an eye out for things.
Yes, I would be. It's a 16 for me and a 9 for Luna.
A 9 for Luna. Okay. You're going along and Luna's staying very quiet. You actually do have a couple moments where you step on a twig, you brush a branch with your tail that you didn't want to displace, and you make a little bit of noise. Every moment that happens, you kind of pause and stop and listen and then keep going. As you're going along, you notice Luna, while she's being incredibly sneaky, doesn't see a threat that is coming from the left and a little bit behind her. You catch it just as a large snake that is going through the forest starts to kind of do that thing where it almost like rears up a little bit, and it's just outside of her eye line.
Do I have a chance to get in between Luna and the snake?
I would say, so you're gonna try and put yourself in between them?
What I'm gonna try and do, since I'm a cool ass ranger, is I'm gonna try to grab the snake. It's just like flying off to bite Luna, like snatch it from the air.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm gonna say that, go ahead and make a dexterity saving throw. You're reacting, you're jumping, trying to leap and do this all at the same time. So go ahead and make a dex save.
Okay. 17.
A 17. That's enough to do it. The snake leaps and its fangs go out to, and it has large venomous fangs on it. It goes out to bite into Luna, and just before it gets onto her back leg, boom, your tabaxi paw is grabbing it just by the throat, just underneath, and kind of doing that thing where you have your thumb up on the head to hold it in place. You have this large, but not, not giant-sized, venomous snake by the head.
What are you doing here? You do not belong.
It replies to you.
I'm gonna... See, I would let her go, but that's gonna go bad. So I'm gonna grab the snake, and I'm just gonna toss it into the forest.
Okay. Roll a strength check.
Strength. 15.
15? That's enough. You pull back and chuck it into the woods. It kind of does that awkward tumble end over end before it disappears into the tree line. You hear a rustle of, underbrush, but after a moment, the snake doesn't come back. He's had his fill.
My dad taught me to throw snakes, never let them go, because they will turn around and bite you. I tell Luna.
All right. So you continue on your way. There's been a bit of a bustle now with having to stop and deal with the snake problem. So if you want to pick back up on the trail, that's easy enough to do. You didn't move too far away. However, I would like you to roll another stealth check for the both of you, since you need to kind of rehide yourself as you go.
Okay. That's a 23 for hide and a 23 for Luna.
All right. So now, kind of the nerves taken care of after that initial danger, you and Luna take off and do it very sneakily. You're in really good sync right now. And even though this relationship is very young and Luna has a lot of training that needs to be done, she is seeming to really latch on to your commands right now and kind of going where you point and kind of anticipating your moves a little bit. It's a cool moment for you to have her out on her first hunt with you and to see this amount of camaraderie.
When I was in town, I bought one of those clickers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, D&D clicker.
Yeah.
All right. You go for another 30, 45 minutes. It's slow. You're not making a ton of ground, but because you're going slow, it's taking time.
What time of the day is it?
At this point, so it was like mid-morning when you left. At this point, you're getting closer to noon between your initial run through the forest to get to where you were when we started and then the tracking time it's taken now. So you're getting closer to noon by this point, and that means that the missing halfling has been gone for several hours. Eventually, the soft ground starts to give way to more rocky terrain, and there are larger boulders and kind of bits of rocky outcropping that take place the forest that replace the forest floor. You begin to worry that you're going to lose the trail as the ground here doesn't, you know, it's not soft the way it was maybe in the forest. Go ahead and roll either survival or perception check.
I'll do the roll, but can I like listen to see if I hear any screaming or maybe any growling coming from anywhere?
Yeah, absolutely. So that would definitely be perception. I'll give you advantage because Luna is doing it with you.
Gotcha. Oh, natural 20.
Natural 20. All right. No screams, but you do notice that even though the ground goes from forest to rock fairly abruptly, it then terminates into a cave. And there is just kind of in the side of a little hill, a rocky, you know, kind of cave mouth. And you get a feeling that that might be where you need to head.
That looks promising, doesn't it, girl?
All right, what do you do?
Sneakily, I'm just gonna go, not go into the cave, I just wanna get close to it and listen again and see if what kind of sounds I hear.
Sure. You make your way up to the cave mouth, quietly picking your spots, and then you listen again. The first thing you hear is water. And even though it is very dark in the cave, you're able to see that very quickly, you know, the ground gives way to a small underground stream that seems to be running. It doesn't seem to be moving fast. In fact, it's very lazy. But you do hear the sound of water. Again, no screams, no sounds of a beast at this time.
Okay. We are going to proceed carefully.
You make your way into the cave. What is your marching order as you go?
I'm going to go first.
Okay, so Luna will trail behind you. As you make your way in, it is not a large cave. It is fairly tight, and it's only maybe 10 feet wide on either side. Very quickly, you also find that the stream makes up most of the cave, and you have to get in the water in order to progress. Assuming you're okay with doing that, you push forward, and the water begins to get a little deeper and a little deeper. And it's not stagnant. It's not, there is some movement to it, but it's very slow, just enough to create some noise and to let there be a little bit of movement, but not enough to take you off your feet or anything like that.
Quick question. Is it pitch black?
It is. By the time you make a couple turns, it is pitch black. Now, does Luna have dark vision?
She does not.
She does not.
So by the time that it gets pitch black, I'm going to have her right side by side with me. And I'm going to be like holding her just so she knows that everything's okay. And just kind of calming her nerves because I know it's a big deal.
So between the fact that it is pitch black and she is being led by you and the fact that this water is starting to get pretty deep. And as a pup, she's still the size of like a normal wolf. She's not swimming yet and neither are you, but it's high enough that, you know, she's got her head up. In order to keep it out of the water. And it is difficult terrain for the both of you at this point. You're moving at half speed. Okay. I would like you to essentially roll a spook check. Just roll a d20 and tell me what you get.
Don't add anything?
Don't add anything.
Got a 10.
A 10, okay. So Luna is a little spooked, but not enough to trigger, you know, the roll table where she would do something out of character. She's hanging in there with you at this point.
Okay. And just so I get it correct, it's the cave right now is just a stream of water. Like there's nothing to either side.
Yeah, as you're going through, it's mostly water side to side. Every once in a while there's a little bit of an embankment. And, you know, there's the odd place every once in a while where it does kind of, you know, kind of come out a little ways, but not more than a few steps. Not really worth getting up out of the water to take 3 or 4 steps and then back into it.
It's a cold water?
It is very cold, yes.
Okay.
And it's very dark.
That sucks. Okay, we're gonna keep going. Okay. I'm gonna be still side by side with her, just kind of making sure she's okay.
Okay. You make your way around a couple more twists and turns, and eventually your dark vision catches that the tunnel is coming to an end. The water goes down and underneath a wall, but you would have to swim to follow it at this point. And there is a little bit of the water goes down, but there is a little bit of a bank at the end of it until you get to the rock wall of the cave.
Sure. Is there a place where we can get off of the water?
There is, at that embankment. Yep, you could walk through and kind of get up onto there.
Okay. I take Luna by the what do you call this? The nape, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
And I just grab her and we walk towards that embankment. I'm making sure that she's not freaking out, you know, command. And I take her strongly to that place. So okay. She doesn't freak out.
As you're approaching the embankment, there is maybe about 20 feet in front of you, right at the point where the water would meet the earth. There is a disturbance in the water. And something just kind of rises up out of it.
Okay.
As this shape rises up out, as soon as it breaks the surface, you begin to hear horrible, moaning, wailing noises. You begin to hear cries and screams. Some almost in common. Some in languages you don't recognize. And as the shape begins to rise farther and farther out of the water, it is a blob. It is almost shapeless. It is flowing and moving. But in the darkness, yellow eyes begin to open up all around it, glowing ever so faintly. And mouths, one here, one down here, one on top, one around the corner of this blobular shape, open with sharp teeth and just emit these wails of torment and pain. It is one of the most horrific sounds you've ever heard. I need both you and Luna to make wisdom saving throws, please.
Oh no, that is the worst thing that could happen right now.
What'd you get?
Wisdom, that's gonna be a 6 for me, and
okay.
Luna has a 11.
11. Luna barely passes. You, however, are overcome by the horror of these noises. And let's see here. You are overcome with fear. And in that fear, you fumble for a weapon very quickly. You pull an arrow and are so disoriented that you let it fly before you even realize who you're firing at. However, it goes in the direction of the creature this time, not in the direction of Luna. I would like you to make an attack roll with disadvantage, please. A 12. That does hit. So go ahead and roll damage on that shot.
Nice. 9.
Okay. So your arrow flies without you even hardly looking. It sinks into this creature and then just kind of is absorbed and disappears into it. You hear the snapping of wood as this fleshy mound absorbs the arrow and breaks it. However, seems to have done some damage as the creature recoils slightly and one of the mouths lets out a wail. At this point, with the creature facing off against you, I would like you to roll initiative, please.
Great. Me and Luna both got 8.
Height of Beast, you are up first. At the top of your turn, you hear all those noises again. You hear the screams and the wails and the cries. You look as in these mounds of flesh, as it twists and writhes from the arrow shot that you've already given it, you see it turn a little bit, and one face seems to stick out and be a little fresher than the rest. It's less of just an eye and mouth and more of an actual face, just the last bits of it, as it, with a pained cry and expression, is absorbed into this creature, leaving just the jagged mouth, and the eyes go from a white with brown irises to a yellowed cast eye. I need you to make another wisdom saving throw.
What have you done to these people? 17.
This time you resist the confusion and the panic that would set into you from all these cries. What would you like to do with your turn? You are about 20 feet from the creature. You are in water up to your waist. There is a little space behind you where you could back up and possibly get up onto an embankment. But it is between you and that larger kind of beachy area.
Okay. I'm gonna stay where I'm at, and I'm going to shoot the creature with an arrow.
All right, roll an attack.
Okay. 15.
That hits. Roll damage.
+3. 4.
4 points of damage, all right. So you sink another arrow into it. It kind of takes a chunk of the flesh with it as it goes off past it. The arrow clatters to the ground behind it, but with kind of like a piece of this weird gelatin-like flesh speared on it. The creature, again, turns and shrieks and writhes as you hit it.
I'm going to stay back with Luna at 20 feet.
Okay. And actually, at the top of the turn, she would have needed to have rolled another wisdom save as well. So go ahead and roll one real quick for her.
Okay. Eleven.
Okay, so she is fine. She maintains her composure. You are now 20, so you're 20 feet from the creature. It begins to float through the water towards you. Not floating, but more swimming. However, there's no limbs, there's no, you know, feet or legs. It just is kind of like, almost like reaching bits of itself out and crawling through the water towards you. It gets within 15 feet of you, and all of a sudden, one of the mouths opens up and spits this glob of acidic goo at you. I need you to make a dexterity saving throw. The glob hits the water in front of you and explodes in a blinding flash of light. I need both you and Luna to make dex saves.
It's cocked. Ooh, Luna got a natural 20.
Nice.
And I got, ooh, that's good. Dex, you said?
Dex save, yep.
And I got a +3, 18.
18, all right. So both of you instinctively cover your eyes and avoid being blinded by the flash.
I grab Luna and I bring her, you know, protect her face.
The creature spends the rest of its turn making another 5 feet movement toward you. It seems incredibly slow, but relentless. It's now 10 feet away from you, and that's its turn. So, Hyde, what would you like to do?
I'm gonna back up.
Oh, I'm sorry, wisdom save at the top of your turn. As the babbling and the gibbering continues, the noise is just filling the chamber, and both you and Luna need to make wisdom saves.
And it's just cries and like screams?
It's cries and screams. It seems to be the final words and pleas of dozens of people who have been absorbed by this creature.
I think we're good. Luna got an 11 again. +1 is her wisdom, and I got a 14.
Okay, you both maintain your composure as it inches towards you even more.
Okay. We're gonna back up 10 feet, both of us.
Okay.
And as we're backing up, I'm gonna draw another arrow and shoot at one of his ugly mouths.
All right, go ahead and roll your attack.
13?
13, that hits. Go ahead and roll damage.
7.
7 points, nice. Another chunk of flesh comes off of it with the arrow. The arrows seem to either be getting absorbed or passing through, but taking pieces of this creature with it.
Okay, and then I'm gonna tell Luna to hold, girl. Your time will come, I promise. Just not yet. And we're gonna keep backing up until we get 10 feet away.
Okay. On its turn, it's going to first see if its spittle recharges, and it does. So it moves forward another 5 feet, gets within 15 feet of you, and spits another one of these globs. I need dex saves from both you and Luna.
Okay. Luna got 10, and I got... bad. 6.
Okay. The blinding flash hits the water, and this time, you weren't expecting it to be able to spit another one of these things at you. This time, you don't avert your eyes in time. You are blinded until the end of its next turn.
Yeah, it sucks.
And it moves another 5 feet towards you, now within 10 feet, and you are stuck in the water, you and Luna both blinded as this thing advances on you. Top of your turn. Wisdom saving throw, please.
Okay. Luna got a 10, and I got a... Actually, no, plus 1. So Luna got an 11, and I got a 14.
Okay, that's 4 11s she's rolled in a row. That's amazing. I feel like you should get a crit hit just for that. But no, you managed to make your wisdom saves. So you're blinded. You cannot see. You can't see where you're going. You can't see to attack. What would you like to do?
Okay, cool. My instinct is to just to go back. So I am going to move back my full speed, which is 30 plus dash, which is 60, but it's difficult terrain, so 30. And I'm just gonna tell Luna, come girl. So she joins me.
Okay, so you use your dash and you move as fast as you can. Your wall, your back hits the other rock wall. You've gone down the tunnel now. Luna tries her best to follow, but you actually lose grip of her. And she moves 20 feet, but is now, let's see, you would have moved, she would have moved 20, you moved your full 30. She's now 10 feet away from you, in the water still, and blinded. So, but she did move 20 feet. She was already 10, so she's 30 feet away from the creature at this point. And you're a good 40-ish feet away.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
All right, that brings us to the creature. It uses its full movement, and then it'll dash and use... So it gets 20 feet of movement, puts it within 10 feet of Luna again, but still, let's see, you're 20. So yeah, 20 feet of you and 10 feet of Luna, but that's all it gets. It will, and it does not recharge its blinding spittle. But your back is now against the wall as there's a curve that came in from your right and went up to this place. So it's open to the right, to your left it's rock wall, to your back it's rock wall, to the front it's Luna and this creature. Top of the round, you're within 20 feet of it. Another wisdom save for you and Luna, please, as it continues to advance.
Sounds good. Luna got a 10, and I got a natural 20.
Okay, 10 is the DC, so still maintaining your wits. It is the end of that creature's next turn, so you are no longer blinded either. You get your, you're seeing stars, but you're getting your sight back to you.
Okay, so what I'm gonna do is I'm going to command Luna to attack. Luna, attack! And then I'm going to dive in, and then I'm gonna do the front crawl and try to get as close as I can to them.
Okay, so she is able to move all the way up to it, even at half speed. You get, it was 20 feet away from you, you can move 15 feet, so you're still 5 feet away. Pretty close to melee, but she swims up and goes for a big bite on him. Go ahead and roll an attack.
Good girl. Good girl. Get the job done. Okay, that's plus 14.
14. That hits. Roll damage.
Cool. Seven points of damage.
Nice. So she takes a big bite out of it and rips a chunk of the flesh away, taking one of the eyes with it and throwing it into the water. That brings us to its turn. It spits another globule into the middle of the space between you and Luna. I need both of you to make dex saves as another blinding flash lights up the cavern.
Okay. Luna got a 13 and I got a 17.
Okay, you both are able to avert your eyes in time. However, Luna is within melee range of it, and it's going to take an attack against her as two of the mouths open up and go to bite down on her. That is a 5 to hit, so that misses as they snap into the water and just miss her. But she is right up against it. You're like 5 feet behind her. On your next turn, you can get right up into melee if you want or continue to kite. That is its turn. It's in melee now, so it doesn't need to move anywhere. It's just gonna start trying to bite down on her. Top of the round, wisdom saves, please.
Does not stop, does it? Come on. I got a 12 and Luna got a 5.
Okay. Luna is, between the bite coming at her and being this close to the creature, she is spooked. And she, let's see here, 4. Luna will not be able to do anything this turn. She is frozen in fear for her turn.
All right, so I'm swimming, and then once my feet touch the ground, I'm going to right away just pull out my bow and then shoot at it. Yes! Can you see that? Is that in focus? Natural 20.
Nice! Well done. Roll damage.
Okay. Yes. 9 points of damage.
9 points of damage? Excellent. Okay. It is starting to look a little hurt. Little pieces of it are flying off, but it's still coming on strong. It's a tough thing.
I'm not gonna leave Luna alone, so I'm just gonna swim up to the creature, even though I'm pooping my pants. And I'm just gonna swim right up to it because I'm not gonna leave my girl alone.
Okay, so you're now coming up into melee with it as well?
Yes.
Okay, so the two of you kind of have it by the front, kind of a pincher move a little bit.
And as soon as I get there, I'm going to put my bow away, and I'm going to take my short sword out.
Gotcha. Okay, you're switching to melee. That'll be its turn. Next, another blinding flash comes out of its mouth. Go ahead and roll dex saves for the two of you.
Luna got a 14, and I got an 18.
Okay, both pass. So it's still going to take a bite, and Luna's the one it was going at before, so it's going to bite down on her again. That is going to be a 19 to hit.
That hits.
All right. 17 points of piercing damage as 3 of these mouths come in and just clamp down onto Luna. All over her and bite her in multiple places at once.
Well, Luna is unconscious.
She goes unconscious. Okay. The creature, one of the mouths is hanging on to her still, and several of the eyes rotate around the body and turn towards you and look at you. And that's its turn. So, at her top of the round, she needs to roll a death save.
It's a 9.
A 9, so that's a 1 failed death save. You need to roll a wisdom saving throw.
10?
A 10. Okay. Even seeing your beast companion go down, you are able to keep your composure, steel yourself, look this creature back in its yellow eyes, and go in for the strike.
Okay, is it looking rough at all?
It's not looking about to die, but it's looking pretty beat up. It's bloodied. If it had blood.
So what I'm gonna do is immediately I'm just gonna grab Luna and I'm gonna do Cure Wounds on her.
Okay.
And I want to take her and like push her down the stream so she's away from the monster.
So kind of like pull her around behind you?
Yes, I want to be in between Luna and the monster.
Yes, you can. The creature will get an attack of opportunity as you pull her away.
Okay, well, I'm not gonna do that then. I'm just gonna touch her and do Cure Wounds.
Okay, so you Cure Wounds her with your action. Roll for that.
1d8 plus 2, 7.
7 points, nice. She comes back to consciousness.
I can't do a spell bonus action, can I?
With our homebrew rules, yes you can. Yep. Bonus action and action, you can cast spells on both of those. You're not limited to a cantrip.
Amazing. Okay, cool. By the way, forgot to do Hunter's Mark for this whole thing.
I know, yep.
Why am I a ranger if I'm not doing Hunter's Mark?
You put Hunter's Mark on the creature.
All right, cool.
All right, that brings us to the top of its turn. Gets its spittle back. Another dex save for the two of you, please, as it spits another globule out.
I got a 14 and Luna got a 16.
Okay, you both pass. It is still, it sees Luna come back awake. Even though it was turning towards you, it wants this meal.
No, can I just yell really loudly so it pays attention to me and not Luna?
Make a intimidation check.
Okay, I could do that, just top of my lungs, like, argh! That is a, give me a sec. 12?
12, okay. It pays you no mind. But it rolled a natural 1 on its attack. So it misses Luna badly. Wisdom saving throw for you and Luna, please.
Again? Okay. Dope. I rolled a natural 18 and Luna rolled a natural 14.
Perfect. It's nothing you haven't seen at this point, nothing you haven't heard.
Okay. All right. So do you think that I can flank with Luna? Like, can I get up into like a little bay area and go directly opposed with Luna and like flank it that way?
You could, yep.
Okay, cool. So I am going to command Luna to get up. Get up, girl, and I'm gonna use that little clicker.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go over to the other side, directly across from Luna, and I'm going to jab my short sword into one of the, is it just eyes and mouths? Or are there also like faces?
It's eyes and mouths. And they almost seem to be ripped out of the flesh of this overall creature.
So I'm gonna take my short sword and I'm gonna go into the, jam it into the biggest, shiniest, yellowest eye. I just wanna make it angry. I want all of its attention on me. Okay. And advantage because of flanking, right?
It would be, yep.
Cool. Okay, that's a 16.
Go ahead and roll damage.
All right. And that is a 6 with the short sword. Plus Hunter's Mark, d6. Should have been doing it all along. 10 total.
10 total, nice. Starting to look a little hurt, yep. As you jab in and take out one of the eyes with your short sword.
I'm gonna go like, look at me, you ugly bastard.
All right, top of its turn. Good lord, it gets its spittle back every time. Boom, another flash. Dex saves for you and Luna, please.
Nasty little creature. I don't know what kind of accent that was. Okay, cool. I think I got it. I just gotta check the things. Luna got a 19 and I got a 12.
Okay. Yep. Luna's fine. You're blinded. You're blinded. You didn't get it in time. And yeah, you'll be blinded until the end of its next turn.
I was so cocky about that. Don't be cocky, boys and girls.
Great kid. Don't get cocky. All right. It then, seeing that you're blinded, takes its attack with advantage against you.
Okay.
But that is only a 12 to hit.
Misses.
Misses. So it strikes out of you, but you backpedal just enough to get out of its range. Yep. That's its turn. Top of the round, wisdom saving throws.
Great. Luna, natural 16, and I got a natural 14.
All right, all set. So you're blinded, Luna's not. What would you like to do?
All right, so I'm blind, so I'm just going to do the clicky thing. Attack, girl, attack.
Roll that attack.
And no advantage because I'm blind.
Yep.
And what is your plus? Luna. Luna, what is your plus? 4. So 17.
Yep, that hits.
7.
7 points. Nice. It is starting to look pretty rough. It is. There's pieces of it now falling off. And more of those eyes have been kind of blotted out. Its turn. Does not get its spittle back this time. However, it does take an attack against you with advantage. And it's cocked. Ooh, that's a 21 to hit.
Yep. Yep, that hits.
That is 16 points of piercing damage against you, Hyde, as it bites down into you deep, cutting through your leather armor and dealing serious damage to you. I also need you to make a strength saving throw as it tries to whip you down to the ground.
That's a big hit. Okay. And then a strength saving throw, you said?
Strength saving throw, yep.
Gotta find that out real quick. 13?
13. Okay. You stay upright. You do not get pulled down to the ground. Your sight comes back to you, but you and Luna need to make some wisdom saving throws.
Oh, man. It does not stop! That is not great. 7 for me and 13 for Luna.
Okay, so Luna's fine. You, on the other hand, you need to roll an attack, please.
25.
And you're flanking with the creature, right?
Yep.
With Luna?
I'm flanking
okay,
with
so
Luna.
Technically Luna would not be in your range. So the only thing you can attack is this creature. So you strike out with a 25 and hit it. So go ahead and roll damage on that short sword attack. And that would include Hunter's Mark since it has been marked. Oh, actually though, Hunter's Mark is concentration. Real quick, roll a concentration check.
Okay. Do I add anything?
It's a constitution saving throw.
Constitution. 10?
A 10 is exactly what you needed to maintain Hunter's Mark.
I'll tell you what though, I would hate it if my last attack was just kind of like a random strike out of fear.
Well, let's see. Let's see, roll damage.
Okay. Oh, and I already hit with a 25, right?
You did, yeah. No, you're just rolling damage, but you're rolling it with your Hunter's Mark because you maintain concentration.
10 points of damage.
10 total. Well, it's not your last strike, but it is a big chunk of damage, and this thing is looking rough. And it is starting to kind of sag and weave in different directions, and those eyes are darting in multiple ways, trying to find a way out at this point.
If I stay there, I'm going down next turn. But if I move, it's an attack and opportunity, and I'm going down too. Luna can't do anything about it. I'm gonna stay in place.
Okay, you stand your ground. A dex save for you and Luna, please.
10 and 14. 10 for me, 14 for Luna.
You go blind again. Your panic of what to do and just kind of starting to get your eyes back up. They were just starting to come up. Technically, you were blind till the end of this turn. Well, you know what? Technically, you were blind till the end of this turn. So how could you be double blind? So I'll say that Luna passes and you already couldn't see the flash.
Yeah, well, it doesn't extend, does it?
Yeah, no, it doesn't extend. That's just it. Like, you, there's nothing to see for you because you're still blinded until it's done. So, it's going to take its attack, though. You are still blinded. It's going to take its attack against you with advantage. That is a natural 20. That is 22 points of piercing damage, Hide of Beast.
Yep.
Are you down?
I'm unconscious.
Okay. It begins to grab bits of you and start to chew as if to absorb you. With you unconscious, Luna on the other side of you, her instinct in this moment is to do whatever she needs to do to protect her master. Her new master, who she's not completely bonded with yet, but who she's been fighting alongside. I would like you to roll an attack for Luna, please.
Okay. This is what it comes down to, isn't it? The very last roll.
It could.
Fourteen.
That hits. Roll damage.
Okay. 7.
As the creature is beginning to engulf you by the legs and pull you in and bite and chew, Luna rears back with her direwolf snout, sticks it into the creature, bites down, and begins to just shred. Just rip her head, whip her head back and forth. And why don't you finish the description of how she destroys this creature?
Okay. She keeps biting, you know, takes an eye, takes a mouth, takes another eye, takes a piece of gelatin, and just keeps mauling until everything is gone and it's just me floating underwater.
She grabs the back of your armor and begins to drag you towards that beached area at the other end. She pulls you up onto the beach, and your body unconscious flops against the ground. I'd like you to roll a death save.
I thought we were gonna be done. But nope. Nine.
That's a fail. I need you to roll a second as Luna sits there and begins to lick your wounds and try to get you to come awake.
Natural 20.
That's two successes. So you've got two successes and one fail. So go ahead and roll a third.
14.
You stabilize. You're still unconscious. And by the time you come to with one hit point, you don't know how long it's been that you've been in this cave unconscious. But Luna is nuzzled right up against you. And as you stir, she springs up and begins to lick your face and show affection.
You did it. You stupid girl. Stupid, beautiful girl. You did it. I was dead. You know, we were both gonna be gone. But you remembered your training. And you saved my life.
She kind of butts her head up into you a bit.
I'm gonna look for that halfling man that I was assigned to look for. And I mean, it all kind of falls under remains, but if along the way I find like ice and mouths and anything else, I'll take it too.
Roll an investigation check.
Natural 20.
Wow. All right.
I mean, I don't know why, because I'm on death's door and can't even function, but.
You find lots of these rotting, nasty pieces of flesh, and it's not a gelatin so much as it is, it's almost like raw meat. There are teeth scattered amongst them, sharp, wicked-looking teeth, traces of the eyes. You don't find any sign of a person. Roll a wisdom check for me real quick, Hyde.
Natural 14, and then my wisdom is plus 2, so 16.
You think back to that moment at the beginning of your encounter with this creature, that moment when you saw a face more pronounced, pushing out of this creature with one final cry being absorbed into it. A small face, potentially a halfling face. It's not a far leap to imagine that that may have been the final moment of this poor halfling farmer.
I take some of the pieces of rotten flesh and I put them on my pouch to take them back to the guild.
All right, well, you take your puppy and the pieces of rotted dead flesh and head back to the outskirts of Aurora, where you present news to everyone there that the halfling farmer is gone, but the creature has been vanquished as well, and they shouldn't be troubled any further.
And I hold the weird rotten flesh thingy to everyone.
Everyone kind of recoils from it. No one seems to really want anything to do with it.
Does Luna want any of it? Do you want some, girl?
She snaps it right up.
Well, I don't know if I needed that for the guild as proof. And I also don't know if it's going to make you sick. So I hope everything works out okay on that end.
You are rewarded with 30 gold pieces for ridding the town of this monster. And the kind of mayor of the town, Master Downing, a halfling man, comes up to you afterwards and is like, you know, there's, you're part of Realm Shield. Have you been to Ferrith yet?
No, I can't say that I have.
You should probably head that direction. Jasper Ungerfit is the head of Realm Shield. You would have seen his name on your charter. He probably will have much more work for you, my friend. Thank you for what you've done for our town.
All right. I guess this will be the last time you'll be seeing of me.
And with that, Hyde and Luna, you take off down the road to Ferrith to see what adventures may befall you there. And that's where we'll conclude this evocation, this memory of your very first hunt together.
That was super fun. I love that in the moment you're just playing D&D, you know, and you're having fun, but at the end of the story, you build like a nice little memory, you know, and that always happens. I freaking love it.
And now there's a little bit more to Hyde's backstory than there was before.
Yes, my connection with Luna is that much more appreciated.